The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of these two did the father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your mind and believe in him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
At first glance, this seems to be a very simple gospel. One son says yes, but he means no. The other says no, and he changes it to a yes. The first yes becomes a no-show, and the no becomes the yes man. So, moral of the story, go and do likewise. Amen? End of sermon? Oh, some of you probably hope so, but... We might then not recognize ourselves in this story, so let's take a second look. Why did Jesus tell this story in the first place? It was because of the Pharisees. In Matthew's gospel, it's part of conflicts that Jesus was having with the Jewish leaders. That's why he brought up John the Baptist, because he saw these leaders as hypocrites by saying yes to John, by respecting him and admiring him, but then later saying no to him when John asked for true repentance and a conversion of hearts, which they did not want to do. Jesus was squeezing their hypocrisy. So I think today this story is given to you and me so that we might check to see whether there's possibly some hypocrisy in our own lives. I suppose the basic question we should ask ourselves this morning is, what are we saying to God? And do we really mean it? Do we check off the box that says yes or the box that says no? I think we can presume the answer to that is we check off the box that says yes, or we wouldn't be here today. But do we mean what we say? As I get older, I realize more, we don't just say yes once to God and then that's it. We have to keep saying yes. We have to make sure that those subtle ways that yeses can change into no's are not happening in our lives. Or they might be losing their force, maybe becoming a maybe, or just a minute, or maybe even soft no's. For instance, when the baby cries in the middle of the night, someone has to say yes all over again to their marriage vows. When a sick call comes in the middle of a Green Bay Packers football game, I have to say yes to my priesthood again. When you have a terrible disagreement with your spouse, feelings are deep and even bitter, you have to reconsider your yes. Is it becoming a no? Or when you're tempted to cheat on your homework or lie at home or in the office or on your resume or copy someone else's test answers, what answer are you giving yourself to your own true and false test? When you don't really take care of yourself or you try to hide that addiction, or you want people to think differently than you really are about you, is that a yes or a no to yourself? When you care for that elderly, lonely person who not only depends on you, but now demands that you be there when he or she wants. Or when the cancer comes back to you or a dear one, or your spouse just can't seem to break that old habit, how long can you keep saying yes? When we say yes to something or someone, we automatically say no to someone or something else. It's when we neither say yes nor no that we have no sense of direction in our lives, no sense of meaning, and that drives people, and maybe God, crazy. I'm not sure if I told you the story about another two sons. Their young mother was making breakfast for them one morning, and as the aroma of these fresh pancakes filled the kitchen, 5-year-old Kevin said, "I want the first one." And 3-year-old Ryan said, "No, I want it. I want it. No, I want it." They argued back, but the mother said, "Boys, listen." She knew this would be a teachable moment for them. She said, "You shouldn't be arguing between yourselves about who's going to get the first pancake. You should be asking yourselves, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say to his brother?" The two little guys looked at her, and they looked at each other. And then Kevin said to his younger brother, "Ryan, you be Jesus." We learn at an early age how to say no or avoid saying yes. But if we really want to be Jesus, as Paul reminds us in today in that second reading, Jesus was not one moment yes and the other moment no. He said a yes steadily to God, even if it meant death on the cross. That's the ideal. That's the attitude to have in our minds, Paul said, as Jesus was. I think down deep, that's what each one of us really wants, a deeper spirituality. We like to say yes to God steadily. I think we want a more complete integrity, a more sincere and complete living out of our commitments. But maybe we've been saying no or not yet, the way Augustine used to say, "Lord, I want to be good, I want to improve my life, but not just yet." Or have we been saying yes publicly in ways that everybody can see, like the Pharisees did, but deep down inside we're either saying no, or yes, but, or I'm not so sure about all this anymore. Well, welcome to the club. But the wonderful thing about this gospel story of the two sons that Jesus told is that God allows us to change our minds. The story tells us that God is patient with us. He gives us time to change our minds and our hearts so that hopefully we can become one full-hearted yes to God and to what God is asking of us in our own lives. But that's the reason we're here, isn't it? That's the reason the Eucharist is given to us. It's the same Eucharist, the same Jesus that Paul said was one total yes to God. And unlike ordinary bread that we change into ourselves when we eat it, this wonder bread changes us into itself, into himself, into the God, Jesus, who is one great yes or amen to God. And when I lift up the host just before the chalice, just before the Our Father, and say, "Through him and with him and in him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father," you're invited to answer, "Amen." Amen, amen means yes. Amen means I'll keep trying not to be a no. So I think Kevin's word to his little brother in that story could apply to each one of us. You be Jesus. Amen.